listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 152. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who's on his third cup of coffee, and it's not even noontime.
That's right.
John Brownstone.
Bing, bing, bing.
I know. I don't know what's going to happen. We're all flying by the seat of our pants here. This week, we're talking about how to help yourself and your partner get into a DS mindset and shut out the vanilla world so you can sort of enjoy the kinky headspace.
Yeah.
At least from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education. Show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. And reviews actually do help. On Apple Podcasts, you can review every episode. So if you really like an episode, please only do this if you really like an episode. Feel free to review it. And that way we can hopefully be heard by more kinky people who would probably like to have healthy kinky relationships too.
It's true.
Yeah, I'd like to think the whole world wants that. My whole world wants that.
Something to strive for.
There you go. We've got goals. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, that PC stands for podcast, y'all. On Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1. Or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm. Yes, you can actually watch these episodes now if you are a YouTube fan, so feel free. All links are in the show notes. So I'm still talking about the same thing I've been talking about because we sell kinky shit.
Yeah.
You make kinky fuckery things.
I make kinky stuff. I make non-kinky stuff.
I know, but I like the kinky stuff. I like it all, actually.
True.
I'm a little partial to the kinky fuckery shop.
I know.
Which is the name of our shop. Because, of course, I was what going to name it the Kinky Fuckery Shop. gift-giving season is approaching.
Yes.
And we encourage all kinky partners to buy the kinky toys of your kinky partner's dreams.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into impact play, we got you covered. So if you go to shop.kaylalords.com, you can actually check out everything.
Yeah.
And we say this all the time, but I want to give an example where, no, really, we do custom orders.
Mm-hmm.
So on some, but not all of the paddles, you can request a, it comes with a paracord handle.
Correct.
And you can choose what color you want. And somebody reached out, and I will not say what color in case their partner listens to the show or watches the show. But they said, can you do this color that is not on your site? And I said, hold on, let me find out. Can I? Yes, we can.
Yes, we could.
And we did. It delayed shipping out the order by like 2 or 3 days, but we could do it. So if you go and you look and you're like, oh, but this is my favorite color. If you contact us, we will let you know if we can do it. And if we can, we will.
Right.
We absolutely will.
Be a slight delay on shipping, but...
And it didn't cost that person any more money.
No.
In that particular moment, because it was just a color change.
Correct.
Right. So see, there you go. Mm-hmm. So yeah, shop.kaylalords.com. Buy some kinky shit, y'all. That's all I have to say about that.
Cool.
Okay. So,
on with the show.
Yes, on with the show. So this week's episode was actually our idea.
Yeah.
The past several episodes have been listener requests.
Inspired.
Mm-hmm. Which we love because that means we're actually talking about the things that y'all care about. So if you ever have a show idea, reach out to us in wherever we are.
Yes, please.
Right, and let us know what your idea is. And if we've already done it, I will send you links so you can go listen to it. Don't worry. So this one is our idea because we're struggling with it.
This is something that happens to us quite a bit because
every day.
We have a very hectic lifestyle.
And you know, and I think this happens to everybody regardless of how you're life sort of works out because we are all hectic and busy and we're all doing a lot more stuff and we're a lot more distracted. They're called smartphones.
Yes.
It's called the internet. So it's very easy, I think, for any of us to fall out of the mindset that we want to be in or not be able to snap back into it.
True.
And part of what made me think that this is a good topic, not just for us to talk about it on the show, but for us to actually maybe do something about in our own lives. It's because we do have a lot of friends who have very specific rituals that is how they know it is time to sort of shed the vanilla world for a little bit. And I'm in, and for me, my friends telling me this stuff with their submissives, this is how I get into my submissive mode. We have not been able to make that work for us yet, but I also think we haven't tried.
We have not pushed that hard for it yet. No, we haven't. Although we're taking some small steps,
and we are
some of it.
And I'll be quite honest, I prefer for our DS, because we are 24/7, I prefer it to permeate every part of our life. So I don't have a problem with being out in the vanilla world and figuring out little ways to navigate our kinks. You know, I like that it feels a little subversive. It means that I am baby girl no matter what is going on. But the problem I'm finding personally is that it is not always easy to make, to see those moments and to be happy about them. Sometimes they're kind of an annoyance because I'm like, I've got this other thing on my mind. What do you mean you want me to be your submissive right now, right? And sometimes it feels like they're competing. Like I have to decide which one's more important, and I don't like that feeling. So yeah, when everything is clicking along perfectly, like we're time traveling right now, y'all. We're recording on a Wednesday. You're going to hear it on a Friday, but on Thursday in between, we're going to go do some kinky fucker, and we'll talk more about that in the bonus section. But I know that because I'm going to be in that mode, it is going to be very easy when we go out to eat to remember to do your coffee for you.
Right.
It's going to be very easy to you know, let you do things that you would normally do for me that when I'm in a vanilla mindset, I just barrel forward and do for myself. Like we were at our local Munch the other day. There's a couple whom we adore. And he always orders for her. That's what he does. And I know that if John Brownstone tried to do that for me and I was not expecting it, if I was in the wrong mindset, if I was in a vanilla mindset,
not in a good way.
What the fuck? Part of these things, I think, come down to your tasks, your rituals, your protocols, the habits that you create. It's sort of like when we do go out to a restaurant, if you order coffee, I know what my job is.
Right.
Although sometimes I have forgotten and that feels awful. But because it's a rule,
It's a rule.
It's easy to do that.
One of the rules we have when we go out, she is not allowed to touch the door handle. Okay.
And I desperately want to hold the door open for you sometimes.
I know. But she is not allowed to touch a door handle. When we go out to the car, I open the door for her. Okay. She sits in the car. When we arrive at our destination, she sits in that car until I come around to the car and open the door for her.
And here's what's funny. There are times where I'm a little, and this is when I'm in a very vanilla mindset. I'm ready to get inside. I'm ready to go where we're going. I don't want to have to, I'm annoyed. I'm impatient. I do it because it's a rule. And because our DS permeates every part of our life, I know that no matter how I'm feeling about it, if I don't let that happen and keep going forward with that, then there will be consequences that I don't want to have to deal with. but that doesn't mean that just because I'm waiting there for the door to open on any given occasion that I'm in the mindset. I'm like, oh, I feel so submissive right now. So I'm just like, fuck, it's hot in this car and I got all this shit out. I got to pick up. And oh my God, can we just get inside? So, and it's those moments that I believe they're completely natural. They happen to all of us. I don't think that we should necessarily try to make all of those moments just go away. I don't think that we should ignore the fact that vanilla life and our non-submissive or non-dominant selves will intrude and will get in the way of those things. Because what I have found is I think it makes those moments where I am in the mindset much sweeter. They feel better because I know that this is a special moment and my head is right here in that moment. But the problem we have found, and our circumstances are not necessarily like anybody else's, but I think that the patterns are similar. So in our case, we work at home together all day long.
Yes.
And I haven't met too many many submissives who don't have this in their day jobs when they work away from home. But when I'm in work mode, nothing about me is submissive.
No.
We've talked about this many times in the past. That's my big D energy, not big dick. Big D. It's my dominant energy. Wow. God, how I think big dick energy is kind of strange. I'm finding I'm clearly old. When I say Big D, that's my dominant energy is what I mean. I'm not talking about big dick energy.
Better be clear about that.
I am kind of proud that I know what that is, sort of. Anyway, so my dominant energy comes out in business, comes out in work. It's kind of always come out in work. Right. I take ownership of what I do. I'm very controlling about what I do because I want it to be as good as possible, blah, blah, blah. But the problem for us is work doesn't have a cutoff period at a set time, at least not right now. So while some submissives I know, and I'm going to tell their trick for anybody who needs it, when they get home and they go through whatever their evening stuff is, deal with kids or cook dinner or whatever, there comes a point for some of them where that they have a signal or they have a ritual or they do a thing where they are literally shedding the rest of the day, their vanilla day, they're in their submissive mindset.
Right.
And so for some people, it's changing their clothes. For some people, it's putting on a collar. For some people, it's it's a signal or it's a go to the bedroom and do this thing.
Well, I was going to say, in many cases, for a number of submissives, I've known relationships like this. When the submissive comes home after work, and not everybody can do this, but in these cases, they can because they have no children or anybody else at home. Their collar is sitting on a stand by the door.
Right, and
they walk in that front door and they pop on their collar
Their dominant puts on their collar.
Or the dominant puts it on.
However, they work that. So they have a very clear signal to their brain, okay, vanilla life, that's done. We are in DS mode. And in DS mode, you will still do vanilla things, but it's a signal to them. It's a way to form a habit and a thought pattern that they can shift that mindset. Mm-hmm. We have not found that.
No.
And I do blame the fact that we don't have days that always end at a set time that we can be
correct.
Sure.
Our days don't end at, they don't start at 7 a.m. and end at 5 a.m.
Right.
or p.m.
They do sometimes feel like they end at 5 a.m.
Yes, they do.
That is true. And I personally, and I don't know if it's a skill I need to try to develop, if it's a habit that I need to break, or if this is just who I am and we're going to have to work around it. But I also do not have the ability, never have had the ability, to stop thinking about work just because I went somewhere else and did something else. My mind does not work that way.
You're not wired that way.
So we could, even when we are in our very kinky spaces and mindsets, I promise you, Thursday when we are at the club and I am strapped to whatever he straps me to and I can't even pick what I'd like it to be, I'm so excited. Like, just pick something. I don't care. when that happens, in that moment, yes, I will be in a very submissive mindset. Going there, I will be in a very submissive mindset. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, I will be in a very submissive mindset. But outside of the peak of that mindset where everything kinky has my attention, the scene we do, the aftercare, all of those things, on the edges of that, where you're fluctuating in between parts of your life, work thoughts will intrude. I might not ask if we can call a business meeting and go over an idea I have, but they will.
I hope not.
Right. They will be there. And what I have found is when work thoughts or parenting thoughts, when we're dealing with kids or the bills or whatever stuff, real life stuff has to be dealt with. Once that creeps into my thought pattern and I'm now chewing on that topic in my head, even if we're not talking about it, it becomes harder to stay in the very submissive mindset. But if I can and when I can, and the reason we're even talking about this is because there are times when you can, whether you've taught yourself to do that or it's just a good moment for you or whatever, then I can approach those topics in a very submissive way. So instead of barreling through and going, Daddy, I want us to do this, it comes out as, hey, Daddy, I have a thought. What do you think about X, Y, Z? And then he gets to be the decider, which is mostly what we like anyway.
Yeah.
Right. But that's still, in my personal view, for me, it's very unrealistic for me to think that, like, Thursday morning, from the moment we leave the house to the moment we get back, of course, vanilla mindset's going to intrude at some point.
True.
I will say, if it doesn't, if when we drop the kids off and we are alone and we know what we're going to do, from the moment we get home or we get the kids or however our day rolls, if I never go into a vanilla mindset in that whole time, I will report back in the next episode. But I don't think think I'll be reporting back. I don't have, it's not that I'm not capable of feeling, being that way, but I don't have it. I can't just stay in that mindset for all that time.
Right.
Now, when we used to go to the club and we'd go to party nights, yes, while we were there, I could, because there was something about the space and the energy that made it very easy to do.
It's the space, it's the energy, because everybody's there for the same thing.
Right.
And, you know, so everybody's in that mindset, so it permeates the environment you're in, so it's very easy to slip into that space.
To a lesser degree, it happens when we go to Munch's.
Yes.
So Munch's are much more relaxed. They're much more casual. So people will keep with their own personal protocols and their own personal relationships. But you're not going to see anybody asking a dom's permission to talk to their sub at most typical Munch's that I've been to. I'm sure there's a Munch out there that does it differently. But the Munch's we are aware of, that's not the case. It's very relaxed and loose. So.
Right.
That is a time where I actually catch myself sometimes and will lean over, especially if I'm dominating a conversation. I know y'all are shocked that I might dominate a conversation. I'll lean over and go, is that okay? Am I doing it? Like, I'll do a check-in because on one level, it's absolutely a kinky space because you know that everybody there might be doing it differently than you are, but they're kinky too. But you are in a vanilla space and it is more relaxed. So it's a really weird line to walk.
It is. And with our Munch, the one that we attend regularly, we are lucky enough that the place that hosts it, we have a private room.
Can close the door. They know us, so they know not to come in.
We have been having that Munch there for more years than I have fingers and toes. Well, not quite, but...
Wow, did you lose a couple toes?
Maybe, I didn't know. Maybe fingers at least.
Yeah, but. I mean, because you've been going to that Munch, even if when you didn't go regularly, you've been going to that Munch for over 10 years, right?
Well over 10 years.
Yeah, so yeah.
And now at this point, from the time that I've attended this Munch, this is the third location.
Gotcha.
Okay, two other locations prior to this one. But it is a private room.
Right, we're very fortunate.
So, you know, things at once the doors get closed, things get a little...
We talk about all kinds of stuff.
We talk.
And we have that luxury. Not every Munch you go to would have that luxury.
Now, one of the other Munches I attend on occasion, there it is in a more open, more public space.
So you have to be more careful.
So you have to be more careful. There is no talk like that. It's extremely vanilla.
Right.
So... It varies from place to place.
It does, but there is something about being in a group of people that you
just
know.
Just knowing that you're...
Right, that you have common purpose, you have something in common. Even if we're all doing it completely differently, we do have that in common. So if I'm throwing out tips and tricks to help with mindset at all, I feel like we say this every episode, and maybe that's just our thing. If you can get out into your local lifestyle... in some way, whether it's a Munch or it's a play party or it's a club or even a
coffee social. Some
small thing.
Have coffee
socials. Knowing you are with people who understand what you do, certainly aren't judging you for it. Somebody out there is going to caveat. There's always judger assholes out there. Yes, yes, yes. But in general, you go to a Munch, you go to the club, you go to an event, you go to a meeting, whatever's being offered in your area, if something is being offered in your area, and you are sitting with like-minded people. And even if you don't talk about kink, you don't have to hide it either. So if you use an honorific with your dominant,
nobody's going to blink that an eye. Yeah.
The only time they might get on to you is if it is a really public space and the vanillas are a little too close.
Yeah.
So there is that. But so... that does help my headspace. I mean, even on the times where my social anxiety will creep in and I'm like, oh, I don't really care if we go or not. Once I get there.
Once she's there, it's a whole different thing.
I'm good. Yeah.
I mean, you were that way this past time. You weren't really sure, you know, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if they had to cancel.
I know. And I felt bad about that because it is something I enjoy. And it is nice to go be around my kinky friends and to sit across the table from another submissive and our doms will do something and we give each other the knowing look. myself and another submissive do that a lot. Whether we're sitting next to one another or across from each other, one of them will do something and we'll just look at each other. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that I do like about, it helps with my mindset, and it helps with my mindset overall. When I am at a munch and I'm surrounded by other types of submissives, and I do get to meet submissives that I identify with, meaning that they are strong, opinionated people who mm-hmm. who have the kind of relationships where their partners are not worried if they express their opinions publicly. And there are some dynamics where that's not okay, and that's not how they do it, and that's cool. But when I am around those kinds of submissives where mm-hmm. we're gonna do what we're supposed to do with our dominant, but anybody else, we're gonna be kind of sarcastic, certainly sassy, whatever, that validates me in a way. And I have found personally that when I can have those parts of me validated, I don't need that kind of validation all the time. I'm fairly secure and comfortable with who I am. But even secure people need to be reminded that, oh,
sometimes it's nice just to have that nudge.
Yeah, and to be reminded that you're not the only one ever who feels this way. That, mm-hmm. in a really weird, subtle way, does help with my mindset. It does help me remember that I can, being submissive for me, it's not always being meek and mild-mannered. It's almost never being either of those things, quite frankly, personally. But seeing that I can be, we won't say meek, but I can be submissive to John Brownstone in one breath and turn around and give some dominant a little bit of hell in a polite, friendly way across the table and go back and be, you know, quiet and a little demure. Demureness happens on occasion with me. That's really good for one, a comfort level, the validation that I mentioned earlier, and it does sort of create these abilities in your head to be able to kind of move back and forth, because mm-hmm. feeling my submissive self with him feels normal, and oh look, I'm switching and I'm gonna give you a little bit of shit over there, and that feels normal too. And there is a little bit of flexing those submissive muscles in a way you can't do almost anywhere else, or I have not found that I can do almost anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So yes, as a way to help with mindset and boundaries and feeling your kinky self, highly recommend your local community. Yeah. I know we've got a couple, at least a couple of listeners who've told us they feel like they live in a kink desert. Yes, there, we go on FetLife and there might not be anything around that's close by or easy to get to. So the next best substitute is the online community and finding putting together a group mm-hmm. where you can go into, you know, someplace online and just all be there freely chatting. However, that's another option too. Right. And it helps in a different way. Like I actually, when I am online talking to people, because I am home, if I'm talking about kink online, as Kayla Lords, I'm in a teaching mode. For me, mm-hmm. that's the least submissive thing. I do not feel submissive at all when I do that. Hmm. So for me personally, the local kink community does help. Because right. even on the day of a munch, it's sort of like getting ready for our scene at the club Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. The getting ready to go to the munch makes me feel submissive. The getting home.
Right.
It's actually kind of a weird transition because I'm like, oh, I'm feeling all good and subby. And, ooh, I was a good mm-hmm. baby girl at the munch. Oh, shit, now I got to be somebody's mom.
Well, fuck. I think part of that is because even before we go to the munch, you know, you're like, you slip into that mode because you're like, daddy. Do you have any preferences on what I should wear?
Yeah, yeah. All right. Oh, I love it when you dress me. That's so fucking hot. Not physically, like, put my clothes on me, but pick out my clothes.
Pick out what
oh,
she
yes.
wears.
That's so fucking yes. hot. Yeah, and I do, and I love, because, and we've talked about this in a past episode about, as a submissive, what I do and who I am and how I present myself mm-hmm. as a reflection of him as a dominant.
Absolutely.
And I do still absolutely subscribe to that belief for me personally. And so when we're going into a kink space, like we haven't had a conversation yet about it, and we're going to have to, because today's Wednesday and we're scening on Thursday.
Yeah.
But I have been thinking all week, I wonder what he's going to want me to wear. Now, the cool thing, this I will say, submissive mindset. So I do this when we're going out into kink spaces because I want to be a reflection of him. But if you want to get yourself, if this works for you, if you want to get yourself into a very submissive mindset or a dominant one, negotiate that. Under what circumstances can your partner pick your clothes out for you? Or that you have to get approval for them to, for what you wear, like however you work that. We did it when we've talked about this a million times when we were long distance. We did it with my panties.
Yes.
We still do it with my panties, but when it's my clothes, my entire outward appearance, it really does. I've not thought about it in that way before now, but it really does help my submissive mindset because right. I have dressed for you.
Right.
I am looking this way. I do not. Yeah. If other people see it and like it, okay, great. But that's not what I did it for. I did it to make my dominant happy. Exactly. That's, oh, I like that. I wore something when we went to the bunch. I dressed very nicely. I found
yes,
a dress in the back of the closet that fit again. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. and I know you love for me to dress up. And
oh, yeah.
I can't make myself do it if I'm sitting at home working in a corner of the living room. Like, we could negotiate something like that where he told me to, but I would be very whiny and complaining about that. But when we go out, I think it's the exhibitionist in me too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I hate to admit this. I feel like I'm giving away, like I'm losing feminist points here. But I recognize it's my exhibitionist side. I mean, my exhibitionist side, when we walk up in that club on Thursday, I will be like, how naked can I get? And I don't even like my body, y'all. But something about kink, I will get naked for that. But I want to be found attractive by other people. And I don't, that's not uncommon. A lot of people do. And it's damaging for a lot of people. I am not advocating this. But in a kinky way, when I'm in a submissive mindset and place and John Brownstone picks out my clothes for me, it's not just, oh, look, I'm wearing them for him. He's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, I'm a reflection of my dominant. I'm, you know, doing something that makes him proud. I'm also like, okay, did he pick something? Do I look hot enough? Like, is somebody going to check me out? That I can feel the feminist points slipping away. I can just feel it.
Losing ground on that.
Oh
one,
my
huh?
gosh. And I don't advocate for everybody because it can be very damaging psychologically. It's not good for our self-image or our self-esteem. It killed my self-esteem for many, many years. And I can only come at it now in what I think is a healthy way, from a submissive mindset, because I recognize that part of it's my exhibitionism and I want to be seen, and I want to be seen in a positive light. And that's also from my childhood. That's a whole other episode. That's what my therapist is for. But in these small doses where it is attached to our DS, and I do not recommend this. I'm not calling this a tip at all. But I am, as we're exploring this topic out loud, y'all, we have said this is a thing we need to do and we have not talked about it. This is the first conversation we're having about this. So all the things that I'm saying that I'm shocked by is because I hadn't given it a lot of thought before. So from a submissive perspective, when you pick out my clothes,
right,
I feel very submissive and I like that. When we are out in public and I feel like I look good, because thankfully you don't ever pick out anything ugly for me to wear. And if I tell you something does not fit right or I'm uncomfortable in it, you always do let me change and put something that I'm comfortable on and wear that. But when it's, you've picked my clothes out, I'm wearing what you chose for me.
Correct.
It makes me feel submissive. You're proud of me. I look good on your arm. Then at that point, from a very submissive and kinky exhibitionist place, I also have that moment of, ooh, I wouldn't mind it if somebody else found me attractive too. I have no clue if they do. I don't sit around wondering. I do check out the people in the Starbucks when we go out together in those avenues. And I don't know how to flirt or get attention. It always just happened accidentally. And then I didn't know what to do when I got it. So even though I say, oh, that's what I would like, I wouldn't know what to do if we were out somewhere and a random person went, you look good, or they flirted, or they made the eye contact, or they checked me out. Like, I don't even know when I'm checked out. You always have to tell me. So I'm talking about something that, ooh, I would like that in a very theoretical sense. And in a very, very micro way where it is, in my mind, healthy for me in these specific circumstances. If every time I walked out of the house, I was worried and I was like, does anybody else find me attractive? That would be so bad. That would be so bad. That would be so damaging. That's not. But it's part of my submissive mindset.
Yeah.
Because exhibitionism is a kink of mine. Yes, I think it's got a place there.
Gosh.
Have I added enough caveats to make it so that, like, it's, I'm not advocating. I'm not advocating for that. But I do think if you are an exhibitionist and that does tie into your submission in some way or your your bottoming kink. So, like, as a masochist, that's where I bottom. That's not a submissive thing. That's masochist is a bottom. Being a submissive is the act. That's perfect. It. But when I, you know, so when I'm an exhibitionist as a bottom. If I had to perform, so to speak, like if I was the dominant or the top doing the thing, oh no, don't watch me. I don't let anybody see me. But as the one having something done to me.
You like that?
Oh, I like being watched. Oh God, it's such a fucking high. Mm. Okay, so I feel like we've maybe gone a little off track, though, because we have, this whole conversation's been couched in very kinky experiences. So let's bring it back to when you can't go to a club or a party or a munch or a meeting and you've got to find your kinky headspace.
Okay.
Or you want to find your kinky headspace. There are times where vanilla life's just got to take precedence. You know, sure. You're at work. You need to be whatever best version of your vanilla self that you can be. And I think if you can find ways to be your dominant or submissive self in those moments, go for it. Absolutely. Yeah. But in your relationship, so I guess one good tip would be if you're submissive and this works for you guys in your DS relationship, maybe letting your dominant pick out your clothes. Knowing you've gone the whole day wearing what your dominant wants you to wear, if it works for you, certainly try it.
Yeah.
Because that's out in your entire life. I mean, that's every moment of your life, vanilla and kinky. You're dressed the way your dominant wants you to dress.
True. And that goes a long way, doing little things like that. But I think, too, what is important, and I'm going to go back to the club thing for a moment. This was scheduled 3 weeks out.
Maybe longer.
We've been talking about it since the summer, you know, when the boys were home from school.
Yes. And it's very vanilla around here.
So, and, you know, we scheduled it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what you have to do.
It is what you have to do.
You have to schedule because with our, the way we work, one, we have to plan ahead of time to have the time off. We're lucky enough that one day a month, our dungeon is open during the day.
Oh, I'm loving this.
All right. And it's just for things like this. People, kinksters with families.
People who don't, people, who can't.
There are some people who maybe work nights.
Or they work the weekends and they can't get off for a party.
So, you know, we scheduled this 3 weeks out, and there may be some who said, well, there's no spontaneity in that. Well, you know, sometimes spontaneity can't happen, so you have to plan things.
And
there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Okay? You know, if you don't have a club and you have kids, you may have to look at, well, after they go to bed. And you're able to go into a you know,
if you were fortunate, but one or both of you to one have children who are in school or daycare, so they have a place to go during the day, and you have a job that offers benefits like paid days off, sick time, personal time, blah blah blah, vacation time. I used to do this before I was kinky. I did this when I was divorced and wasn't even in a relationship. There were days I scheduled a day off when those children had someplace else to be. And I did whatever I needed to do. I got a tattoo one year on a day where the kids are off at school / daycare. That was not a day I picked them up early. Mm-hmm. That was not, that day was for me. And right. When you can do that, and I recognize that not everybody has that luxury. I get it. But if you do have that luxury and you, even just 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours where they're off somewhere else, you take advantage of that.
If the kids are involved in some kind of club.
Something.
And they're going to be gone for a while at
a club.
And you know, well, the thing with a club, if they're in a club, you know for a set time every week.
They're here for this amount of time.
They're here for that amount of time. And you can work to squeeze in, you know, some DS time.
Right. And exactly. And I think I'm not big on spontaneity. too fucking anxious for all that shit, but so I think spontaneity is fine in theory. I don't want it anywhere near me. Don't get your spontaneity on me. Mm-mm, keep that over there. Got a serious boundary over here. I know I'm fun, aren't I? So I'm all for planning, and I think that if you are not averse to spontaneity like I am, if you can make that happen, go for it. But if you sit around waiting for something to spontaneously happen, and now you've got a month and you haven't been in your kinky headspace the way you want to be, what the fuck good is spontaneity? Spontaneity is not getting you anywhere. And now maybe you're miserable. Maybe you're stressed. Maybe you don't have that release of whatever you get from whatever your mindset is.
Well, the spontaneity can come in. All right. Say if you 2 p.m. every Tuesday, you know that is an open time slot for 2 hours.
Right.
Okay. So you make a plan. Okay, this is going to be our time to do a scene. All right. Well, okay. You know that's going to be the time. What have they planned?
Right. From a submissive perspective, you still get the surprise. And even, and this is mostly from reading and observation and listening, even dominance can be a little spontaneous, because you might have a plan, but when you're in the middle of a thing, something might throw off your plan, and you've
got to switch it up on the fly.
Right. So, and yes, and I think there's absolutely space for spontaneity and surprise within your schedule. There is room for the whole spectrum of purely spontaneous and you never know what's coming to rigidly scheduled, and then you can fit spontaneity in there. That is probably the one place that I'm okay with. I wouldn't call it spontaneity, though. Not to me, but somebody else might. So as a submissive, when we are in a scene or we're about to do something and I know you're in charge, I might be wondering. Yeah, I'm definitely wondering what's going to happen. I might be asking questions. I might be curious. But in that moment, because here's the reason I don't like spontaneity. I don't fucking trust anybody. I got trust issues. We've talked about this, right? So, but I trust you, John Brownstone. I trust you more than any other human being on the fucking planet besides myself. And even then, sometimes I don't trust myself. So you have the freedom, because you have earned it, to be spontaneous within the boundaries we have set. I mean, that we've talked about this before, about why boundaries can be important, because once you have those limits, then you have free reign in the middle of those limits within that space to do all kinds of stuff. So in my mind, you can be spontaneous because I trust you enough to let you be spontaneous. So I get the good mindset of knowing on this day at this time, Thursday, October 25th, from about 9 a.m. to about 11 a.m., just saying, there will be kinky fuckery. And in knowing that is coming up on the schedule, my mind is there with it. My mindset is already shifting, because I am anticipating it in a good way and looking forward to it. Know it's going to be a thing that makes me feel very submissive that I haven't had for a while. And yet I honestly don't know what will happen in that space within the boundaries of that moment. And you get to be that way and do whatever.
Right.
I mean, we might talk about it if you want to try something new, or if you're concerned about, oh, is that going to be good for your neck, or do I have to be careful here, or how are you feeling physically, how are you feeling mentally, blah, blah, blah. Yes, yes, yes. But it's the knowing that it's on the calendar and scheduled that's got me in the mindset, that's got me already looking forward to it. I have been so focused on my work this week because he told me, it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I want you to take the day off. Now, I could not take the full day off, but I took the full morning off. I'm not even touching work until like 2:30 in the afternoon that day. And that's like the absolute earliest I might touch it. But by knowing that, scheduling it, planning it, I've been looking forward to it the whole time.
Right.
So my thing is, if you need a...
Recording, I was packing the toy bag.
I know. And I was like, ooh, he's packing the toy bag. And I'm like, ooh, you, Kayla Lawrence, need to work harder. You got shit to do so you can take Thursday off.
Shit's going to happen tomorrow.
I know. I've already been like thinking about what underwear I'll be wearing. We haven't had the conversation or anything. But like, that's the cool thing. When it is on the calendar and you know it's coming up, those you start thinking in those terms again. And you start... Even when you have to go through your vanilla life and you have to be present in the vanilla world, you have these moments where it slips in unexpected ways. And it, to me, it's a wonderful feeling. As long as it's not distracting me from other things I need to do, it's great.
That anticipation.
So, yes. And so that's my whole point and my whole rant here. Just call it like it is.
Hashtag ranting submissive.
Somebody's going to use that one day. My point is that if you're not finding easy opportunities, spontaneous opportunities to get into your kinky space and that mindset and feel your kinky self, submissive, dominant, whatever, sadist, masochist, I don't care. Schedule it. Make it a priority. And I recognize we all come from different backgrounds and experiences. And a lot of people have jobs where they're not given benefits of they can take a day off with pay. Like, I get that. But when you have those luxuries, use them. Because you know what I'll tell you? Especially if you can use the, I need to take like a, there are some places you can say I need a mental health day, right?
Yes.
Ain't nothing better for your fucking mental health, I'll bet, than taking a day where you and your partner got kinky as fuck, had a day where you weren't working, had a day where if you have kids, they were off somewhere else for a few hours, and you got to just sit back and be your kinky self. I'll bet money you go into work the next day with relaxed as fuck, okay? Yes. I'll guarantee that shit. So call it a mental health day. And you used to do this when you still worked at a job. I was going to say regular job, and I wasn't sure that was the right one. Anyway.
An office job.
You worked in an office.
Yes.
There were times where I'd be like, when was the last time you used sick day? Do you have a sick day you can use? Oh, and I loved hearing him go, I'm not going to be able to come in today. And then I'd whisk those children away to school. And we'd spend the day doing whatever. So if you got sick time, just saying, if you can use it, if you've got it and it's, you know, and you feel comfortable with it, use it. That the lead up will put you in the mindset, the day of, the aftermath, you'll have the memories. And yeah, you got to jump back into vanilla life almost immediately. I totally get it. But that there's a lot there around that. And I'm only just now being reminded of that because of our date at the club. Oh my God. The other thing though, and I think that this may be probably more in line with what people were looking for, and we will have a blog post on it because we're time travelers. We're recording this before I've written the blog post. So I don't know what the blog post says yet, and you do, and me, this version of me doesn't know, but I think we'll put some tips in that blog post of some things you can do.
Time to fire up the TARDIS.
I know, right? Oh, God, I just wish I had a doctor. And I want the TARDIS. Let her drive the TARDIS. I just want a doctor. But let's talk for people who, okay, so you those special occasions might be once every 3 or 4 months, once a year, once every 6 months. If you have a community that you can go out to, maybe you only get to go once a month or once every other month or whatever. So what about the day-to-day finding that headspace? So we talked about if you're comfortable with it. And I think this, you know, letting your dominant pick your clothes, that you can take, you can substitute anything in. Allowing your dominant to blah, or as a dominant, asking your submissive to do whatever. The fact that I used to make sure you had coffee before you walked out to go to the office every morning.
Right.
Our schedules aligned, or I made my schedule align where I could do that. That was my thing. First thing in the morning, practically, I felt submissive because I was doing this thing. Now, that mindset didn't last all day.
No.
But it was a way to wake up and feel submissive.
And then there was the times in the evening when I used to drink coffee.
And I would
After dinner.
I'm a coffee submissive.
Yes.
That's the hashtag, okay?
Coffee submissive. There you go. But yeah, you would make me my coffee in the evening.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I do think having those kinds of tasks to bookend your day, they could be anything. It could be whatever works for your life, but prioritizing them.
Right. And now it's little things. It's making sure that the bed is pulled down and
I take care of
the bedroom
all
ready
the
to
nighttime
go to bed.
Stuff. So yeah, I pull down the bed. I get your nightstand ready. I set the alarm. I don't set your alarm, but I set if you're not going to have an alarm, there's always an alarm set. So you can forget your alarm and there'll be an alarm set.
Correct.
I get the coffee pot ready. Like I have things that these are the things I do. And by the time I have stripped down naked and have, you know, bent over the bed ready for my nightly spanks, that's another thing. That comes at the very end of the day. That's not a turning off the vanilla world and moving forward, but it is a thing.
Correct.
There are times you're like, did you do everything? Did you do all your tasks? And I'll go, oh shit, I forgot something. And I have to jump up and go take care of it. But there is that as well.
Right. You know, we don't do this. We did try it. It didn't work for us with you. But there are some submissives who, when they go to bed at night, their dominant will put their collar on.
Right. Or
cuffs.
Or cuffs. Or we have same friends from the Munch. She is bound to the bed. Now, she can, if she needs to, in emergency, unclip herself. She can go to the bathroom. She can do what she needs to.
It's loose enough. But it is just the feeling of knowing that he has bound her to the bed, okay, at night, that gives her that feeling.
And even if she does have to get up in the middle of the night for something, she has to make sure she clips herself. Because in the morning, and I don't know what their ritual is, we did not go into details, but I can play this out in my head, where they have this ritual at night where she is bound to the bed, submissive mindset. And then when she wakes up in the morning, that's the first thing that she's dealing with is being bound to the bed and whatever ritual or whatever they have for undoing that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, and we have talked about this in countless episodes on, you know, being kinky in a vanilla world. So a lot of these things, I would say you might even already be doing, but it may be a reconfiguring how you think of them.
Right.
If you have the luxury of a clear end to your day, so you get home from work or the kids go to bed or whatever, then I think having a ritual or task for each of you either to do together or to do individually, whatever works for you, to get into your mindset, I think that makes the most sense. I think that if you have that ability, start there. A collar goes on, clothes come off, whatever.
You know, if you have little ones around the house, it could be something as innocuous. I've heard of many, DS families where when the big D comes home, the little S will make them a drink, make them their favorite drink, get them a beer, you know, or get them an iced tea or whatever it could be.
And it's an innocuous
thing. And serving it to them.
That the kids are never going to notice. So that's another thing, is getting really good at finding kinky things you can do that don't look kinky, that only you know are kinky.
But you know deep down inside that you are fulfilling a task and doing your service.
Right. And as a dominant, you are being served. Here is my submissive doing this thing
for me.
Gosh, don't I feel a little bit more dominant now? You know,
right.
My job sucks, my boss sucks, life sucks, traffic sucks, car needs to go in the shop.
But I
got this submissive.
But I got a good girl at home.
Or boy, or whatever.
Yeah.
we'll learn you. We'll learn you.
I'm getting there.
And I think there's a lot of reasons why these things can be helpful. Part of it is the actual physical act of doing it and the whatever it is, doing a thing or having it done for you to help you feel that way. Part of it is sort of training yourself. You are teaching yourself a new habit. You know, after however long, I will let scientists determine, you know, how brains and bodies and habits and neural pathways work. But when you do the same thing over time, there comes a point where your mind can actually anticipate. You haven't even started doing it. You're about to go do it. And you can sometimes have the similar reaction as if you've done it. So
right.
you now, know it's time to go do your thing. You're already in a submissive mindset before you've done your thing. So that is, there's a benefit there.
Now, I had heard many years ago that it's roughly about 10 days for the mind to retrain itself to pick up new habits.
I have heard that's much longer.
Depends.
It's about habits. So anybody who is an expert out there, please like message us and let us know. But so I've heard 21 days, I've heard 30 days, but I read, and I can't remember where I read it, but I read somebody who, some book, it was like a change your habits kind of book. And they said, look, we all tell you either 21 days or 30 days because that is much more doable for most people. But in reality, it's like 90 days. So I don't know. And I would imagine your enthusiasm level for it probably dictates your success with it. So if you're really excited to be doing this kinky thing to get yourself in a kinky mindset, it's going to become maybe a habit much sooner. Now, what I would caution you against, and I say this from personal experience, I'm not saying everybody goes through it, but because I go through it, gonna put it out there. I have found that the longer I do something for John Brownstone, make his coffee, get the bed ready, whatever task, and I've done it and I've done it and I've done it, that there can come a point where it stops being as meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. It is just something I do by rote. I'm not thinking about why
the
I'm doing it.
Behind it.
Right. It's, I have to do this thing no matter what's going on. And sometimes it comes down to we have to have a conversation about it because I'm not in a good mindset and I'm not happy about it. And it's not because there's anything wrong with the task. It's usually something else going on with me.
Right.
You know, maybe we haven't done other things and we have relied solely on those tasks and protocols. Right. And the other thing is that I have found accidentally that when I can't do something because I'm sick or I'm hurt or I'm busy or I'm not there and I realize it's being done by John Brownstone and not me, or it just went undone, that bothers the fuck out of me. Mm-hmm. And that is sometimes a good jolt too, where I go, wait, that's my thing. And I do that thing for a reason. And I don't like the fact that I didn't do that thing. Like, it's not a sense of relief when I get a break from it. It's like, wait, no, I have been very, very sick mentally and physically at different times and been like trying to drag my ass off the couch to go get coffee ready. And he's like,
And I have to put my foot down. And actually get really, really tough with you at some of those points because you don't want to not do it.
And the irony about that is just 2 days before, I might have been sitting there going, fuck, I don't want to do this. Who cares? What does it matter? I had something else on. But that moment where I can't do it and I feel like I should and that's my thing. And why
something shifts.
And then I get that little jolt. And then it's easier when I am better. I'm like happy. I'm like, look, get the hell out of my kitchen. I do coffee around here. What the fuck, right? So it's a balance. And I think that if you can create rituals and tasks and things that you do and be mindful of the meaning and the reason for
it. Behind it.
Right. And sometimes that comes down to conversations. And sometimes I'll say the times where I get less enthusiastic about it is when I'm getting these haphazard, I need coffee, baby girl. And then I put it down and he's like, then he doesn't touch it. Or he's like doing, and I'm like, what? And we've talked about gratitude many, many times. Mm. And it is important. I don't do what I do because I'm waiting on the, you're the best baby girl ever. Okay. But if I'm kind of in this place where I'm like, I was not feeling very submissive when I did that. And then I get, it's not received in a way that makes me feel submissive, and it's not received by my grateful dominant, it's received by my husband who's like off in another world somewhere. And I don't love that. But when he goes, thank you, baby girl, I really appreciate it, or he pats me on the ass when I'm on the way, or he does something that speaks dominance to me, and that that is unique to all of us. There's no certain things a dominant should do. Right. But when you behave in a dominant way, after I have done something for you, it reinforces that I did that thing for you because I'm the submissive.
Yes.
And so it keeps me in that mindset a little bit better.
Better.
So it's not just having the tasks or the rituals or the protocols or the things that you have set up in your DS relationship. It's about how you think about those things and how they are treated by both of you. you know? And my big test for have we run the course on a task or protocol and this doesn't fit anymore is when I do get a night off from it for whatever reason, I feel mm-hmm. nothing but relief. That has not happened in a long time.
No.
But when that is how I feel about it, it's no longer a task that's serving me. Right. It might be serving you, but it's not serving me.
Not doing anything for you. Huh?
Right. But it has been a very, I think it was after we first moved in together and we kind of went through things that I was right. like, oh, thank God I don't have to do that anymore. Okay, good. And yet, for all that there are times I'm like, I really would rather be sitting on the couch doing a thing, but you need a cup of coffee. Okay, fine. I love when you pull my hair. But if you told me tomorrow, I don't want you to do that anymore, I'd be like, what? That's my thing.
You'd be like, why?
Right.
Who's doing it now?
What's wrong? Did I do it wrong? What's wrong? So if you as a submissive find that you're feeling a little negative about some of the things you're doing, always communicate about it as soon as it makes sense to do that. Mm-hmm. But do a little introspection and think about how you'd feel if you couldn't do it anymore. Because sometimes it's because we haven't thrown off the vanilla world enough from our day. And so we're still in that vanilla mindset. We're not feeling very submissive or we're not, you know. And sometimes it's that the ritual doesn't serve us. And sometimes it's that we're not getting the feedback we need. So that it's this nice little feedback loop of I do this thing because I'm the submissive. You give me feedback as a dominant. Or I get this thing because I'm the dominant. My submissive is serving me. And so then I give this to my mm-hmm. submissive. And it's this really nice loop that can go back and forth. And if that loop's not being closed and it's just left hanging, you can sometimes feel, you know, less than great and not be in the mindset. But I think that finding those things I think bottom line, if you can, and we have not found it yet, so I'm certainly not telling you how to do it. If you can find ways to close out your vanilla day and say, okay, vanilla world mm-hmm. away, certain things are still going to intrude, phone calls, right. dinner, children, whatever your life looks like. But here, this is my space and my time to be my kinky self with my partner. And sometimes, depending on how your relationship is, if you're not living together, you're not married, you're not cohabitating, you might only get 2 hours on one this week or mm-hmm. a day here or a week in there. And it's in those spaces and in that time that you absolutely need to find ways to get into that mindset.
Seize the moment.
Mm-hmm. And seize the moment. I think... The other bottom line I would say here is finding the tasks, the rituals, the protocols, the things you do or that you ask for or that, you know, consensually negotiate mm-hmm. them, find what works for you that make you feel your dominant or submissive self.
Right.
There is no right answer of what those things should be. Okay. They are going to be unique to you, your life, your relationship, what turns you on, what the things you're capable of doing, the things you want to do, all of that. So I don't think we can just give a list of, oh, do these X number of things.
It is. It's going to be very personal to mm-hmm. you. It's going to be something that is reflective of your dynamic. Mm-hmm. You know, because each dynamic is unique.
Exactly. But I think that seeing it as an important thing to attempt is what is universal. Because right. we all have lives that will overtake our brain and that we will start thinking mm-hmm. about. And the next thing you know, you've got a submissive who's snapping at their dominant and it's like, oh shit, I didn't mean to do that. And
it ain't going to fly.
And now there's a consequence. Fuck, I didn't want a consequence. And like all kinds of things can happen. Mm-hmm. And I would say for those people out there who are like, yeah, but I can't do this all the time. Our schedules don't align or this or that. Speaking as somebody who hasn't figured it out on a daily basis either, not really, knowing that I have this specific set time coming up in the future has been wonderful.
Yes.
And so schedule those times, even if it's mm-hmm. not kinky fuckery, even if it's just this is the moment I put on this collar or I do this thing or I kneel or I whatever it is that makes right. you feel your submissive self or your dominant self, and put it on the calendar and know that it's coming up. And that time, even if you can't do all the kinky things you want to do, you're going to do something that puts you in your headspace. Mm-hmm. And I would say try it and see if that doesn't help you leading up to that day and even a little bit after that moment with your mindset as well. Right. So, yeah. I think
think we've...
think so. And, you know, I feel like all of this is just theoretical, because we have not found the magic balance yet.
But the thing is, we haven't given up. We've been working on it, and we've been tweaking little pieces here and there.
And small moments that last maybe 5-10 minutes a day, whatever, those are still valid and important, and it's better than none. Right. You know, it's better than never hitting our kinky mindset and being in that mental space where we feel our kinky selves.
Yeah.
So that is that.
Yeah.
I would say if you have thoughts, opinions, suggestions that have worked for you, things you've done,
please
feel free to comment on the show notes page, tweet at us, message us on FetLife.
Yeah.
All of it. Wherever we're at on social, if you're watching this on YouTube, comment below. Let us know. And because we can all learn from each other. And because we are not even going to pretend we have all the answers on this one.
I don't
feel like I have any answers.
We're all learning and growing from each other.
And what I have noticed is what will work for me this month in October, because like we have this thing planned on Thursday, might not work in November. It's a constant learning, constantly shifting kind of thing. So share your thoughts, your ideas, your experiences with the rest of us. Let us all learn together.
Yes.
So
we're all in this together.
God knows. Okay. So that's it for us, right?
Are we good?
Vaguely. We got a bonus section.
Yes.
Because I need to squee over my Thursday.
Of course.
That hasn't happened yet because I'm a time traveler.
All right.
I know.
All right. So let's... Ready?
Okay.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week.
And I suppose you want to talk to the crickets, baby girl.
I would love to talk to the crickets. I love to talk to the crickets. So we don't have any mail.
No.
That we know of. We checked.
Yes, and the day before we recorded this.
Right,
yes.
And so we don't have any mail, and that's kind of okay. The mail, I'm still going through the mail we got last week, which was stuff to review. I feel like I'm about to sneeze. I hope I do not.
Gesundheit.
Oh, that's not fair. Now I got to live with the feeling of the sneeze and not have the sneeze. Damn it. So okay, so here's where my mind has gone for our Thursday morning club date.
Yes.
Okay, so first of all, I am wondering what I will wear underneath my clothes. What I wear as my clothes doesn't matter. You got to go in. We have to go in looking vanilla because we'll have dropped the children off and gone and got coffee, blah, blah. So I'll be shedding all of that. What am I wearing underneath? How much of that's coming off? Like, I can't, like, what? And when you hear the sound of my voice... I will know the other version. The Friday version of me will know these answers, but the Wednesday version of me does not know these answers, and so I can't say something about it. Then, because it's been, one, so long since we've been to that club, and two, they're under yet another new ownership, I'm hoping, if there are no other people in the club, that we can get permission to take pictures of the equipment and the club, because the online kinky self of me is like, ooh, wouldn't it be cool to go look? This is the... piece of equipment that we're going to use. And I know that pictures in a club can be very, you have to be very careful because privacy is important and the rule, you have to follow the rules. So part of me is hoping that nobody else is there and I can go, look, there's nobody else in here. Can I get a picture of whichever you pick? And I have to say whichever you pick because one, I am married to a sadist. So if I express too much interest in one piece of equipment, there's a chance that will not be the thing we get. We will get something else.
Right.
But two, I also love it all. Like, there are benefits to all of the pieces of equipment. So spanking bench, I love that because I can kind of rest my weight against it. But my entire backs of my thighs, is completely exposed and I love it. And you can do some really cool things with that. I like the St. Andrew's cross because I'm up like this and it's usually just my back. You don't do my front and that would probably be a limit for me right now. I don't want my front out like that. But, and it's this very, there's something about the St. Andrew's cross that is very intimate to me in a way that other pieces of equipment aren't. And I don't quite understand that. I think it's because it's the very first piece of kinky equipment I ever got on. This club we're going to is the very first club I ever went to and the very first club I ever seen at.
Yes.
All on the same night. and we actually did two things and they were both on a St. Andrews Crossers. One downstairs and one upstairs.
Yes.
And so maybe that's it. Maybe it's that connection because of the memories. But it's like, oh. And then what we used to do in our old club was I wasn't suspended because my feet were flat on the ground, but my arms were over my head with like
It was almost like a winch that came down from the center of the ceiling.
Technical terms, yeah. I get naked and get hit. That's all
I
know.
And then, clip them to her cuffs and it would raise her arms
and
up.
And what I like about that is you get a full
360 degrees.
Oh my God,
all the way around.
So
nothing
good.
Is out of bounds.
And so I'm really glad this decision is not mine to make because I'd be like, I'm sorry, can we scene on all of them?
No,
do we have time for that?
They do have something similar.
Yeah, and I thought they had something similar.
A lot of times during the weekend evenings, it's used for rope suspension.
Sure. And that's the other thing. This is, one, not a club we've been to in a very long time. And two, it's going to be different because it's new owners now.
Right.
And so
I'm very curious to see if they have anything, new additions since the last time we were there.
And then there's no way of knowing how popular this day is because we might, it's one of the things that when you go to a club or a party, you have to share. And so just because I can't get my mind set on any one thing because somebody else might get to it first.
I mean,
who knows?
You know, we may or may not be the only ones there. Obviously, the fact that they do this once a month, that they're open during the day, shows that they have interest enough.
Somebody's coming,
You know, people are obviously coming there. Otherwise, they wouldn't be sitting there during the day.
Right, exactly. And that would be cool, too, because it's been a long time since we did anything with that part of the community. Because we stick to the northern side for where we are. But even when we did, what happens, because people have work schedules and they're kind of set in their routines, when you go to certain things at certain times, you see some of the same people. And so when you get out of that a little bit and you get to go at a different time, you might meet somebody
who some new people.
Can't go to other things. And that's why they're coming to this. So that's kind of cool. So, yeah, it's I'm excited. I have enough anxiety just in general to think, oh God, what if something goes wrong? And then the nice thing is I'm the submissive here. I just got to show up and take my clothes off when somebody tells me to take my clothes off.
Strip girl.
I know. Ooh, okay. And my blanket, my blanket will be there. And I'm curious because we have not done an impact play scene in so fucking long.
I know.
How long can we both last? What will happen? Will I be able to let go and just be in the moment? Which means I can always take more when I can do that.
Yes.
You know, for a brief moment, I was like, do I care if I hit subspace? And then now here's the conflicting part. First of all, I never care. Like, I never go into the club going, gosh, I hope I hit subspace today. No, that's not how I fucking do. But because what I like when we go to an evening play session is that once I hit subspace, man, I go to sleep very easily at night. Like, you pour me into bed and I'm out.
And you're gone. You're gone.
Okay, we're playing in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm not going to be able to go to bed after we're done. We're going to get something to eat is what we're doing. Say more about that in a second because that's my other obsession. So there's a part of me that's like, well, I would like to be able to let go enough that subspace could happen. I kind of hope I don't go too deep because that's going to be awkward trying to get home.
Going to a restaurant.
Right. why is this poor lady just laying down in the booth over there?
Waitress be like, did you roofie her?
You're right. Yes, he did. And I consented to every fucking second of it. There's also a part of me that's like, will the impact be able to be hard enough where I'll get marks? I don't bruise up as much as I used to. We also don't play as hard as we were able to at one point. So it's like there's all this, and it's all these unknowables. And instead of the unknowables making me go, what if I'm like, oh, I can't wait to find out.
See, that's another thing too. Part of why we don't play as much at home is, when we originally moved where we're at, our neighbor on the other side of the condo from us was hard of hearing.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay? He was hard of hearing. So, you know, it would go largely unnoticed. That has not been the case for a while now.
No. So we do have to temper ourselves. And yes, and the... So, people will say, I guess, a submissive doesn't have requirements. Bullshit. Of course we have requirements. When I was told, you will take this day off. We are going to do this thing, and it is wonderful. And of course, there was no argument. We were like, fuck yeah. My requirement was, I will be fed. When we are done, we're going to eat. Now, we do kind of a version of intermittent fasting. So we drink coffee in the morning, but we don't eat until lunchtime. So we're both going to expend a lot of fucking energy early in the morning. Oh, I'm getting fed. And I have already put my demands in for what I'm going to eat. Because priorities. I'm having steak and eggs, y'all. I'm fucking having steak and eggs. That's what I'm having. I can't eat the toast. I can't eat the hash browns. I don't care. Give me a slab of meat and some eggs.
Give me lots of bacon.
Yeah.
Bacon, bacon, bacon,
I want
bacon.
Steak. Anyway. So, and what I love about this, and we mentioned this, I think last episode, this starts off like a week and a half of celebration for us.
Yes.
So on the 25th, that's Thursday.
Oh, that was a big part of the reason for me wanting to plan this.
True. And I love how you think. So kinky fuckery on the 25th of October.
Right.
On the 28th, that's our 1 year wedding anniversary. That is correct. Sunday. We are going on our first ever dinner date. The only other time we've gone on a dinner date Let me qualify. First ever since we've moved in together and have children we're raising together.
True.
Okay? So we have lived together since 2014. It's 2018 now.
Nitpicking.
We've gone on coffee dates. We've gone on all kinds. If we go out to eat for dinner, there are always children with us.
Yes.
So at least one. So we're leaving them, feeding them pizza or whatever. We're going out for a dinner date on our wedding anniversary. Right. Then my birthday is 2 days later on October 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And we will all as a family
go out to dinner then, yes.
Then Bohemian Rhapsody, the Queen biopic that I can't stop talking about, and I am not reading reviews. I don't care what the critics say. I'm fucking watching that movie. That comes out on November 2nd, and I don't go to movies on opening weekend, but I might make a
exception.
Or we go during the day because we can.
Right.
And
another,
avoid the crowds.
Another planned outing.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and also on my birthday, we're putting new tires on my car. We're going grocery shopping because we know how to live the life. but I'm good with
living
all
large.
Of it. I'm good
living
with all
large.
Of it. So, yeah, I am. It really has helped my mindset this week. And I guess that's probably why I advocate so much for find something you can plan for in the future.
Right.
And then start looking forward to that because, man, that really has helped me in the past couple weeks. That really, really has. And, you know, going to the Munch, even though there was a part of me that was like, oh God, I don't know if I, you know, can I just stay at home and curl up in bed? And no, it was good for me to go. And then knowing that you really liked what I was wearing that day.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we went out, so we're recording on Wednesday. On Tuesday, we were out. We worked at a coffee shop all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And while I picked out my own clothes that day, I did it with you in mind so that you would think I looked cute.
And it got full approval.
So yeah, there's been that. I'm definitely an advocate for plan something that you can look forward to help your mindset. So, so yeah, there's a lot going on and time traveler versions of us don't know what the reality will be once this show goes live.
Well, next week in the bonus section,
we'll be able to talk about it. We'll talk about it. Yes. Okay. So I guess that's probably about it. I know. Yay.
Right.
I'm just cheesy. Like I can't stop grinning.
I know.
Podcast listeners cannot see it, but YouTube is like, oh my gosh, will that lady stop smiling so much? No, I will not.
No.
I'm going to get my ass beat on Thursday.
It's plastered on.
I know. Like, he's going to hit me with different objects. That's how you know you're kinky. That's what you're celebrating.
Oh, and we're trying out a new cuff and
we have a new cuff and collar set, and we're gonna see how it does and how it feels in the club. Because quite frankly, if we tried to wait until for kinky fuckery at home, it would be weeks and weeks.
Be a while.
So yeah. So hopefully we love that and we can tell you guys about that too. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah, it's so good. Life is so good. I'm so happy.
And now that being said, we should need to let these good people go get about their
I know.
Their things. You need to get back to work so your work is done for tomorrow.
Or at least caught up enough. So yeah, because I have to work on Friday.
There you go.
Okay, I guess. We love you guys.
We love you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.